Holy mackerel, what a home run. Wyatt Langford with the home run. Two outs, ninth inning, down three runs, hits a home run, ties it up. His Texas Rangers go on to win. Dave Raymond with the home run call of the day. How can you not have that be the home run? Wyatt Langford, yep. All right, well, I hope everybody's having a great week. A great week. I know that we are Baseball Isn't Boring once again, and we're going to continue to have a great week with another great podcast. And once again, thank you to fine folks at Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage, Wasabi Technologies for walking side by side with us. Thank you for everybody who follows along at BB Isn't Boring, at BB Isn't Boring producer Evan, doing an outstanding job with the socials and with everything, really. So we have another great podcast. I sit down with Texas Rangers, the hitting coach, Tim Hires, the guy who is the coach of the guy who hit the home run call of the day, Wyatt Langford. Tim Hires is the hitting coach of the Texas Rangers. And we have done this before. We did the hot tech, technology in baseball morphing, merging. Thanks to the, again, to the great people Wasabi for coming up with this idea. I love doing these. We've done everything from PitchCom to the pitchers, what pitchers are using for technology, to eyesight, to all of it. And now we want to know what technology hitters are using, because let's be honest, hitting is the hardest thing right now. Pitching, it's hard. There's no question about it. But hitting is the hardest thing because pitching has evolved so much. It is unbelievable how difficult it is to hit a major league pitch. That's just a fact. So what is the technology doing to try to keep up with everything? What is technology doing to help these hitters? And how has it evolved over the last few years? Well, thankfully, we have one of the best hitting coaches around, Tim Hires, to help explain this. All right. Rate, review, subscribe. Rate, review, subscribe. We got even more good stuff, great stuff coming up. Once again, hope everybody's having a great week and hope that this adds to it. All right. Here's Tim Hires.
All right. There's no human being I'd rather talk to right now than Tim Hires. Fact. Fact. So it is the Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage, hot tech. We always like to integrate baseball technology, and we've done it, Tim. I did it with some pitchers, because, you know, you have TrackMan, you have the slow-mo cameras, you have, like, all of that. But listen, they don't need the technology as much as I don't think. First of all, how are you? Good?
I'm great. Hey, Robert's always great being with you, hanging out, talking baseball. It brings back so many memories just being here and hanging out in the dugout. You know, we did this a long time ago.
Listen.
You know, at the beginning of my career, I mean, this kind of started here, and you were there, and great baseball talks, and then now kind of at the end of my career. And
No. You're just getting going, and all I know is that all you do is win world championships. But let's talk hitting and technology.
Sure.
How it's really, let's take this last year. Like, it's obviously every single year. And I remember talking to you when JD Martinez was first signed.
Sure.
And that wasn't necessarily technology, I guess, or more a lot of video, right? I don't know. How much of it was that? I mean, am I accurate in that?
I think the technology has started to break ground where players just started to trust some of it.
That was like 18?
18.
Yeah, okay.
And they started to kind of just dabble in it a little and trust and kind of see some of the feedback we were getting. So just, but it was all video. And it became more of the slow motion video, how you could get video to the player so fast. Mm. I think then players started to utilize it. And, you know, JD and a lot of players would utilize it as, okay, here's some of my best swings. Here's, like, you know, the things that I really like about my swing. And then you take, you know, the swings after a normal game, and then you can compare the two and kind of see where the movement patterns maybe changed and kind of stay ahead of the game of some of the slumps.
I remember, you know, right away he set up, you guys had brought out the iPads Yeah. I mean, which wasn't really, it's crazy to think that wasn't done. Now I think, you know, everybody does it, right?
We do it all.
But it was JD, like, I want my iPad. And I remember Billy Broadbent went out there with the iPads and he set it up and like, oh wow, someone's videotaping. It wasn't that long ago, right?
It wasn't that long ago, but how beneficial it was.
Oh.
I mean, it was kind of, you know, the guys, you know, they just, they're invested in their career and what, you know, how can they get an edge? And that was JD's and a few others and Mookie involved the same way, is like how they could maintain that edge or get an edge for that night's game. Mm-hmm. And he utilized it probably as good as anybody I was ever around at that time. And I think it's grown rapidly across the league.
So for you, like you said, video, and I know that you like to learn, and you have to be, as a hitting coach, you have to be adaptable. And with the play, especially with JD, was like he comes in. I remember talking to Dave Magadan when he was the Diamondbacks and they traded for him. Said, hey, listen, he's going to do his thing.
Sure.
But you were very adaptable, and you knew Robert Van Skoyak, who was his guy, who was now with the Dodgers, right?
Absolutely.
And so you're listening. So after the video, what was the next thing? I seem to remember, and maybe I'm wrong with this, measuring bat speed, which is like a public thing now, right? I remember Matt LaCroix, I think. Like, he was saying, oh, I measured my bat speed this offseason. It was a lot better. We're like, okay, that sounds good.
Sure.
So was that another thing around that time?
Yes, I think bat speed was, and then the motion capture.
Okay.
We could start to get motion capture in-game, you know, and you've probably seen it, you know, a million times where they put sensors on the body.
Okay.
In a lab. But that takes time, and a lot of hitters don't want to do that. They'll do it once or twice a year, and then they're done with it because they want to, you know, the season goes too fast. So the technology started to come where they could get using cameras, and there's multiple systems out there that can get kind of that 3D.
Without hooking all the stuff up.
So it's live in-game data.
Okay.
That they can get after a game or, you know, next day or so. And, I mean, it gives all these data points about your movement system and how you're moving, you know, and then you can compare. So just think of it as the skeleton version of video. And it gives a lot more data and numbers. And it can be very, very confusing.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, that's my job as a hitting coach and as a player, is like, okay, bridge a lot of the technology, that information you're getting, because it's, and then funnel it down to what's usable. What matters to a JD? What matters to a, you know, to a Marcus Semien,
right,
and guys like that? So I think that was the art to it, and trying to make it simple, because hitters can't get too complicated. I mean, if they have too many thoughts, then they're going to.
Oh, that's the thing, right?
That's the part.
It's sort of like when you know a pitcher's tipping, some guys want them and some guys don't, right?
So, yeah.
Yeah.
And so they just get, we call it getting domed up. I mean, they just, too many thoughts, they forget about the baseball. So that's the part where technology comes in. We see it, then it's like, how do you simplify it to get it to the player? And then stream it so you can get it, you know, fairly quickly, because that's what hitters like, because they're off to the next thing.
Yeah.
You know, like they play in a game today and they get blown up on the inner half or whatever, that's what they're worried about, and then tomorrow something else happens and they're off to that. So it's like, so getting the information pretty quick was a big part, and then, you know, and today we can get it, you know, fairly fast.
So what you're talking about was real-time stuff. It wasn't only breaking it down after the game. It was real-time.
I wouldn't say real-time as much as in-game movements.
Okay.
Because there's a different movement is if I want to hit off a tee.
Yeah.
My movement's different than, you know,
than being in a game.
Being in a game and having to hit against Justin Verlander.
Right.
And, there, you know, the adrenaline, my movement pattern, you know, it's that compete mechanism that changes your movement. So we want to see how that movement, what's happening in the batter's box in the game, so we can be more precise of what some of the best hitters in the world are doing. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I think at 2018 it started to be like, oh, this is pretty interesting. And now I think the data is very reliable, and now we can use it. And so that's one thing in technology I think helps. And then the next is we do get to capture a lot of movement patterns of the baseball.
Yeah.
And so obviously everybody's heard of TrackMan and the Hawkeye and all the systems, and start to put those together to say, here's why this guy's a major league player, like his unique movement pattern,
yeah,
his system of how the ball moves out of his hand. They're all different.
Yeah.
So if you can get ahead of it and try to help hitters understand the flight of his fastball moves this way.
So it's funny you say that. So TrackMan, we say, well, this is for pitchers, but it's for hitters too, right?
It's one thing I learned, yeah. You talk about you better stay ahead of the game.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'm over there like curious to what pitchers are doing.
Yeah.
It's like, you have to reverse engineer to help the hitters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so interesting.
It's kind of
yeah.
giving them the simple version or the dummy down version of here's what's really happening. And I call it, it's kind of the power of association.
Yeah.
We face a pitcher that was similar to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Then now you go, hey, you remember, we faced Hunter Brown the other day. So how that two-seamer worked on the inner half. It's like his two-seamer worked similar to Hunter Brown's. Kind of giving that power of association. They go, oh, aha, that's my feel.
That's interesting. So going back to the game stuff where, it was probably right around that time too. We see you guys with iPads, a lot of times it's looking at the pitchers. Here's what you're going to be facing, but I would imagine. But then you also have guys sitting in the dugouts with buried their face in the iPad. When do you remember the iPads becoming such a thing? As a coach, I guess, because the hitting coach never had to scurry like, oh, let me get the iPad. And so, what is on the iPad? Like when you do that. What is on it?
Yeah, I think every team's different.
Yeah.
It's kind of their strategy of what they want to give to their players. Because as you know, when you have a pitching change, you got about 30 seconds to really get your message across. And sometimes, time they get their helmet and it's fast. It's your elevator pitch. A couple of seconds. What's the main point you want the player to understand and head to the batter's box with? So a lot of that is video, but it's just information that, again, simplified, taking all the big picture, but simplified to what's going to help this hitter at that moment for this at bat, to go compete. Because if they have a lot of thoughts in their head, what I've learned over the years, I've messed it up so many times, I can't tell you how many.
But it's hard to balance anything as a coach, right? Because you don't want to shortchange them in terms of information.
No.
But at the same time, it's like, oh.
Yes, but then you got to know each player.
Yeah.
And that's another art of what does this player like? And so I think on the iPads, it's just things that each player likes, but it's also kind of our philosophy of information to give to the player, and they can see it in video form really fast. Sometimes it's, 10 seconds or whatever, see it, and then so they got one clear message to hit to the batter's box with.
When you go to, let's go back to some of the technology that's emerged, and Driveline has been really gaining a lot of steam, a lot of people from Driveline being hired all over the place, and they do a lot of different stuff. I mean, I don't think it's like, oh, well, Driveline, here's the Driveline way. I mean, weighted bats would seem to be a thing, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What are some of the things that we're learning from that group?
I just think, again, that motion capture of what really is happening underneath the hood from a player, and how the pelvis is working with that association with the hands, what swing plane works for this guy. So I think they're putting that together and helping players identify, or helping a player identify what they do best.
Mm-hmm.
When you create your max bat speed, your body's kind of moving in this direction or this movement. You need to think in these terms. And then it helps also, is like, what do you need to train for in the off season to get ready for the season? Here's what you do. Maybe there's some weaknesses, and then work. And I think that's where the bat speed training comes in, increasing some acceleration with the barrel, or if it's just, swing length, maybe it needs to get longer or shorter.
Well, that's the thing, right?
Yeah.
Let's talk the bat speed. I love this. When the bat speed stuff became public earlier this season, it became a big thing.
Yes.
And because obviously we could have guessed a lot of the guys who have good bat speed, the Aaron Judges and all the world, but I don't think anyone would have guessed, or at least like the casual fan would have guessed, that the guy that a lot of people perceive as the best hitter in baseball was dead last in bat speed, which was Luis Arraez.
Sure.
And so immediately when that happens, everyone's like, well, what are we looking at? So what's your take on that?
It was just, I think that's the reason baseball's so unique.
Mm.
You saw guys that at the top of the list with incredible bat speeds being some of the best, are all-stars. And then you saw some guys with not so good bat speed being all-stars and being really good players. And so it was kind of on both spectrums, we saw really good players. So then you got to look at, okay, where's the common denominator? I think it's the barrel accuracy of, like, who mm-hmm. can take what they do, mm-hmm. you know, be consistent with it, but also who's accurate to get the barrel to the ball, to send it forward, to get results and impact the game. Mm. And I think that's where I think a lot of people started to look. Now, we all love Batsby because I think there is a parameter or a baseline that you got to have
yeah.
to succeed in
sure.
at this level. So I think that's a lot clearer to us. But also is that if you don't have certain amount, you better have better accuracy. And then I think you can get away with being a little reckless because you're really going to impact the ball and change the game, change the scoreboard in a heartbeat.
Right. I mean, it's a perfect way to put it. I took way too long breaking that down,
Me
trying
too.
To figure that out.
Yeah.
But I was like, wait a second, what is? And then you get to... And actually, there was, oh, well, you know, the top 10 guys in bat speed, only one has an OPS over 800, but they have a lot of home runs. Anyway.
Yes.
It's, and then I can't get past a rise. I mean, I can't, and that was the, in the, it's, you said it perfectly, barrel, right? Barrel up the ball.
You better barrel it up.
Yeah.
And that's the name of the game. And, but that's the unique part of all the kids growing up is, you know, it's like, you're not just pushed to the side, is you kind of can know your path to maybe playing college baseball mm-hmm. or even getting into the minor leagues and go play professionally. So it's that path that you understand your strengths and what you're capable of doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great way to put it. I wish more coaches said that when, for the kids. But so one of the things we talked about sort of in-game stuff, I talked to early on, the first time that I heard the Traject Machine, which is the video simulation batting practice. Some teams have it, some teams don't. That Matt Strom was actually on the podcast, and he said, can you believe that this year hitters are going to be able to use this in-game, and we aren't even able to use TrackMan out in the bullpen? And obviously the perception was they want it to be an offensive game, but now as a hitting coach, I'm going to put words in your mouth like, well, it's harder to hit than anything. And so, but I don't know, like, when... what's your take on it? You guys don't have Traject. Some teams don't have it. But what's your take on that whole thing?
You know, where Traject is, it's really close to game action, what you're going to see in the batter's yeah. box. And that's what they've hit on is mimicking, like I said before, what the pitcher's movement pattern's really doing. You can kind of time up his delivery because you can see each pitcher. And then also how the ball comes out of their hand, release heights, all the kind of the metrics that we look at. And so a player can kind of get that feel. And so I do think it is an advantage. I've heard some great things from players just yeah. talking around the league.
It seems like a game changer if you can use it in game, though.
Yes, it is. And so, but, you know, I give credit to these pitching guys. I mean, they've been kicking our butts the last couple of years, and they do a really good job of the game plan and helping their pitchers or use technology to help their pitchers. And us hitting guys, you got to – got to keep working and keep moving forward. But Traject is one way that I think that we can really gain some ground. Yeah. Because, yeah, like you said, in-game, that's I do feel that's an advantage.
Do you think that the Traject is the biggest game changer now in terms of hitting technology?
It's right up there if it's
yeah,
not.
Yeah,
yeah. Just off the top of my head, I would say yeah. it's right up there. I would say that and the... you know, like we were talking earlier, the data, your body movement
yeah,
data.
Yeah, biomechanics.
Those
yeah.
two are the two that I think have helped hitters the most.
Okay. I'm going to bring up two players that you have coached. I can list a million different guys who have done well under you. But I love, you, as a hitting coach for these guys, it's everyone's unique. And that's what I couldn't imagine being a hitting coach or a pitching coach. It's like, it goes back to being a pitching coach, Tim, where I remember back in here with the Red Sox, it was, the staff was like Tim Wakefield with a knuckleball, Daisuke Matsuzaka, you know, Josh Beckett. It's like, how do you coach? Everyone's different. Anyway, so I just want to pick two. I'm going to pick Mookie Betts and Corey Seager. I'm going to let you start wherever you want to start with either one, but I want you to break down why each of them are so good, if you can.
Yeah, so both of them are perfectionists. Both of them have a passion to play. Hitting is something that, you know, it's in their blood. They just, I mean, obviously they're gifted, but they both just have that drive to be really good. And it starts when they walk in the clubhouse. When Mookie Betts gets into the cage, it's business, and he's out to. He knows that he's wanting to perfect something. He knows his body. He's very well well aware of who he is as a player and how his body moves. Mm-hmm. So I'll talk about Mookie first, and that's the part that I just really I'll never forget is his drive to be really, really good. Mm. Now, a lot of players have that. But his work, coming into work every day when I was with him, was, I mean, he would come in the same time, it was the same mindset, and he knew he meant business, and he was out to make sure he could get the best work he could get in. And if we gave him drills, he wanted to perfect them, and then he was like, he would come up with ideas like, this drill's simple, but I can manipulate the barrel, it's just, let's make it a little harder. Mm. And he wanted to perfect that. So I give him credit there. Mookie Betts sees the ball as good as anybody I've ever been around.
Really?
Because I did see him in the minor league.
Yeah, sure.
A long time. I think he sees it as early as anybody.
Really? Okay.
That's what, you know, just him breaking down and like shutting down on pitches. It's just incredible. But then it's not easy to take what you worked in the cage and that feel you have. Because Mookie was really good at, like, okay, here's what I was working on. Now, here's the feel, the simpler feel I need in a game. And taking that feel and having the courage to try it or stick with it in game action. And not a lot of people understand that part. Because it's easy to work in the cage and do your work and, okay, that's what I want to do. And then the game time start and the lights come on, the stadium's packed, and they forget everything that they were, you know, it's like...
Or you have one bad at bat, and then you're like, okay, the next three are completely different. Yeah,
and you ditch it.
Yeah.
And I do. He knew he was really good. He had something inside that he knew that, okay, I'm a pretty good player. But also, and then go out and lay it on the line and go compete. I'm just never forget that that hap at bat.
Oh,
You just knew that it was a battle. And you knew if he threw the ball down in the zone, something good was going to happen.
And I think, if I remember right, it was like a
13
pitch at bat, and he hits a grand slam.
Yeah, he hit a grand slam. It was a pivotal part of the year. And just, but, and if fans could understand, like, before that, he was struggling a little bit, and he was struggling in the cages. He felt like, I don't have my swing. Like, I don't feel it. And then, you know, just, you know, that's Mookie. You know, so, and then he's a tremendous athlete and all that other, but that's what I credit him as, very unique and the best to have that. And he has that. He sees the ball very well. He can be very consistent, but he also puts in the work, but that work can show up in a game. Corey, another special player, special hitter. He's kind of more your engineer, you know. He pays attention to every angle, every body part. He comes in, utilizes video a lot. And he's just passionate. Every time he walks into the clubhouse, he has his routine, and it's like you can't pick out a different day. Like, he doesn't. Every day he comes in, it's like the same focus.
Yeah.
Every day, and that's hard to do. And I mean, we don't have many days off in this game.
Yeah.
And I know he sit here and he's like, well, you know, that's kind of easy to do. But no, it's really difficult, because there's days you feel bad, your body feels bad. He shows up these day games, he gets here early, and he's ready to go. And he's more your technician, and he is well aware of his body and how it's moving. And he knows when things are off, because he's done it so often. But he's a master at the video. I think he's a master at understanding how his body's moving and that feel to be good, because there's days he's like, hey,
a common thread, though, like with knowing when my elbow's off, my wrist is too low or whatever, with the great ones, right?
Yes, I used to say that about Xander. Xander would take batting practice sometimes and be like, Xander, you're hitting the ball really well. Like, he goes, no, Tim, it's not right.
Yeah.
And after a while, I trusted Xander, because I knew when he said that, there was something off. And it was. And he would like, no, the ball's not coming off like it should. Like, the spin's not right, or it's not the right swing. And that's what allowed the greats to have that.
Yeah.
And they are picky about things, and they're going to work at it. And that's where Corey is one of the best. And then, you know, you take his work, and then you see him in the batter's box, and fearless competitor.
Yeah.
And when he gets into the batter's box, he's looking to do damage, and he is taking it to the pitcher, and that's what I respect about him. Is like he's not on the, he doesn't play defense, he plays offense.
Really?
And he sends that message out, and I think that's, give him a big credit for, you know, the success we've had around
that's
him.
That's awesome. I love this. I love watching those guys play, and thanks for that insight on them, because you have a unique perspective. I really thank you. And where are you at two World Series ranks?
What's that?
Where are your
ranks? They're at the house.
Are they the house?
Yeah, come they're on. At the house.
You should walk. We could walk around with them. Let's go.
They're beautiful things. Yeah. And you know what? This proves I had good players around me. As a coach, you know, you're so honored. Like, I mean, it just tells, those rings are a reflection of good players and having a special moment. You know, I'll never forget that 2018 group. That group was destined, and they had that chemistry together. Did
you go to the iPad of the Mitch Moreland pinch hit?
What's that?
I can't even remember if the iPad was going on.
Anyway, it was there.
All right,
the iPads were there.
But he's just like, I'm just going to hit a home run.
Hit a home run. What a special.
Oh, it's like it's such an underrated moment, like the World Series moment. The Mitch Moreland, like, changed everything.
Changed everything.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you get some of the Jackie Bradley, little sneaky homers and Houston. That game, I mean, and how far did he hit it? What people don't realize, he blasted. Not only did he hit a homer in critical time, but he blasted.
Oh, no. That was the I'm selling out Mitch Moreland swing, and I'm going to hit it a country mile because I'm from the country. Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of funny. It's like a lot of people don't understand that he had a big impact into that team and with Rafael Devers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I say that because Rafi, big power guy, left-handed hitter. Mm-hmm. You had Mitch, more the veteran, you know, in part of his career, and you had the young guy. And I didn't know it was in 19, and, you know, not just 18, but being a part of the conversations in the clubhouse and in the dugout, and I know those two had a special bond together. Mm. And I give Mitch Moore a lot of credit for sticking with and, like, answering a lot of questions from the young guys, especially from Devers, to help him understand, hey, I know what it is. I know how it is to struggle in this league. Mm. And being a left-handed power guy, you know, that's what Devers is. And that being a left-handed power guy and just give him some pointers and being there for him, that I think I know Rafi. I know
Rafi. I think you were there, like, when Devers was coming up, or a few years ago, when Houston threw like 45 straight fastballs to him.
They did.
It wasn't an exaggeration. They threw 45 straight fastballs to him because he couldn't hit it.
Yeah. And I'm sure Mitch was one of the first to talk to him about it and be like, laugh about it.
Yeah.
You know how Mitch can. Makes one of the funniest guys around, but make fun of it, but also give him some pointers to be like, dude, you're not the only one. Like, this is going to happen.
Yeah.
This is
when you hit that first one, they'll stop throwing it to you.
They'll stop throwing it. Yeah. And, you know, they're getting you right now. They might have got you these last couple games, but you're going to get back at them pretty soon.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you, Tim. Appreciate it.
Anytime.